From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Thank you for your kindness, your mercy towards us. Thank you for bringing us together again. I pray, oh God, you minister to our hearts, and that you touch a life and you save a soul tonight. Thank you that somebody is not going to hell after tonight's service. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. John chapter 15. Preaching for a few minutes. I think the program continues. And then we'll be out of here. It's a fantastic week for us. Fantastic week. We are not celebrating Founders Day. We are celebrating Founders Week. So we are celebrating Founders Week. Hallelujah. You know, it depends on how important and how relevant you see the person we're dealing with. Now, what happens is that, it's a custom, it's a tradition in our church. The traditions are good, especially if they lead you to God, isn't it? There are some bad transit traditions, and there are some good transit traditions. Now, we have a tradition in church that on the birthday of the founder of our church, we celebrate it with evangelistic programs and outreaches. All right, it's the 14th of May, which was a Monday, you know. So we here in Guyana, we don't see him physically. We don't see him physically. And we don't want to wait until we see him physically to show that we love him and we appreciate him. Because sometimes when you see people physically, you don't even appreciate it. Is that Selwyn? Wow. It's good to see you here on the other side of the river, isn't it? Lovely. But sometimes when you see people, you don't even appreciate them. Because I know and I've heard of people who, even though they are part of the First Life Church, they don't even go to church some Sundays. Yeah. The bishop is preaching on a Sunday and some people don't go to church. So it's you know some, right? Yeah, it's not far-fetched at all. It's there. And it tells you how backward you can be and how you can actually deteriorate when you don't understand the importance of somebody. I was talking to the Lord yesterday. You know my stories. Yeah, but you are hearing the stories. I don't know how it's affecting you. So I was talking to God. I sent him a message to ask him about the prophecies. You know, maybe let me just briefly touch on that and then we'll move on. It's John chapter 15, right? I'm not diverting at all. But I was talking to the Lord about the prophecies. Because when we come together, we hear prophecies, isn't it? Yeah. And Monday night, was it Monday night or Sunday night? It was Sunday night where I preach about the blood of Jesus speaks, isn't it? So we spoke about how the blood talks, it speaks. And interestingly, we had a lot of prophecies in line with what I was talking about, if you are spiritual enough to identify that. Now, I don't know how many people understand these things that happen in our church. Our church is a very rare church. Miss McLean, our church is a very rare church. I mean, even if you bring the United denomination together, there are many of the churches, we don't do the things that we do here. I tell you, these prophecies, if you have been around, you can ask my wife. She's probably the one who has been around longer than anybody else. That Sunday morning, you don't prophesy. When you're prophesying, you just say, shh, tell the lady to keep quiet. Everything has its place. Yeah, Sunday morning is come, preach, teach, finish. Go home. But you see, I have kind of opened you up to a bit more of supernatural experiences, which you don't get in most places. So, the Lord told me something, but one of my church members was asking me about the prophecies. And I know you have questions, but you don't ask. And that's your problem. Because when you don't ask questions, it doesn't get answered. And it becomes a mindset. And it controls your mind. Anytime you encounter the thing that you have a question about, you don't experience what God has in it for you. Now, it's very basic, but you know sometimes we fall short when we encounter them. So somebody was asking me, you know, how the ladies will do their things. The person is saying that it puts him off. Because there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of drama with the prophecies. I don't know if you've been around, experienced them before. So it's not like somebody stands and then they say something. I mean, sometimes they're on the floor and there's a lot of shouting and a lot of noise and all of that. So this person was telling me that the noise and the shouting and all of that actually takes his mind off the whole thing. I don't know how many of you are like that. He's not the only one. Except that you will not say it. And that's what makes you a pretender. Yeah, that's what makes you a pretender. So I was explaining because the person brought it up so that, you know, they can get some explanations or some solutions to their doubts and their questions. I was telling the person, I saw the same thing on one day on Larry King Live. How many of you remember Larry King Live? Yeah, that guy with the braces, they call it. He was interviewing Ben Hinn. And you play some of his clips and you ask him questions. You play some of his clips and you ask him questions. And he played, at one point, he played a clip of Ben Hinn. You know, somebody gave a testimony, like how Sister Marilyn came and gave a testimony and Ben Hinn was on stage. And you know, he began to shout and was telling the people about, come on, somebody rise up, you know. And then he asked Ben Hinn, he said, but man, come on, is this not a show? Is there not a bit of show in this thing that you're doing? And Ben Hinn said something that has stayed with me and that actually taught me something. He said that, you see, when the thing happens, you can't control yourself. You see, when the Lord actually comes upon, when the power of God comes upon you to prophesy, if you are a man, you stand quiet and speak. So I was explaining that it is a sign of how people cannot handle the power of God in their bodies. And I told the person, I said, even if it was you, you would do the same thing. Because have you had God's power come upon your body before? That's why we don't experience those things, because we doubt. You get it? But I asked God about the same prophecies. You know, I was saying that I hope what you are telling the people, I hope it is getting the response or the impact that you want it to be. How many want to know his answer? Pastor Gerald would say, come on Sunday. No, it was a very interesting thing that he told me. So I asked a question. I said, because the prophecies come, isn't it?
Yeah.
They come. Some of you know, some of you don't know, some of you don't listen. Even if you are not here, you don't listen to the podcast, because I'm sure some of them have, we have some of them on the podcast. Maxwell, is that so? You have some of the testimonies, some of these, my stories that I talk about, my text messages and all of that, that God sends me text message. I mean, I don't know how you see it or whatever, but I mean, it's me who gets the message. I don't know if you like it or not. That's why you don't get the message. So I asked him, I said, Dad, I hope the prophecies are getting or making the impact you want it to get. I can go on my phone and read it. His answer. He says, isn't that fantastic? Really? You're laughing. It's fantastical. I'm reading a text message from God. So, I
asked, I said, Dad, also, there was something else I said, also, the prophecies, I hope it's making the type of impact you intend it to make in the church. Then he takes my message. You know how when you are responding to a message, you take the message and then you do reply. So God, he now knows how to do text message, you know. Sure. Yes, you think that he's some old God from Abraham time. He has a long beard. You don't know what's going on. You rather don't know what's going on. It's God. He's on social media. Wild life. I tell you, he uses a smartphone. Yeah, no mango pelter in God's world, I tell you. He says this. He says, son, it is a matter of how people receive it. And God, he doesn't write with commas and things. So when I'm reading, I have to take my time and break it. Otherwise, it will sound like a long sentence with about 3, 4, 5 something that you may not even get it. So I'm breaking so that you get it. Son, there should be a comma, right? But there's no comma. So I put commas in my head when I'm reading. He says, son, it is a matter of how people receive it, which I cannot interfere with. But, Mr. Marilyn said, but, I can tell you, those who do not take things how they should will not have peace. John chapter 15, verse 12. I'm sharing my message with you. It's for me. I'm just to give it to you, give you something free. Is it Fayan there in the corner? Fayan, is that you? Okay. This commandment, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. My message is greater love. Greater love. 5-10 minutes and I'm done. Greater love. You see, in this life, in this world, all of us are looking for love. Yeah. Love. So much. Some people say, oh, he swept me off my feet. You have to be careful you don't bruise your head. This sweeping of feet that you are talking about, make sure you don't bruise your head and get a bungi. That's how they call it. You don't get bungi. But the whole world is captivated by love. Love is one of the most important and focused activity of human beings in this world. When a woman wakes up, whatever she puts on herself and dress up and all of that, she's just looking for somebody to love her. Ching, ching. Love is the order of the day. All of us here are looking for love. Somebody to give us some small attention. To love us. To cherish us. To do something nice for us. Yeah. For some of us, a little kissing means much love. For some of us, when cars are parked in our garages, we say that's a great love. Did you hear of that story before? You don't know about the story? You don't know about garages and car parking in garages? Hey, where are you from? Where did you come from? Are you here for the first time or what?
Yeah.
For some girls, for some ladies. Yeah. Once you park a horse cart in their garage. They say you love them more than anything.
Yeah. No, some people interpret parking of vehicles in garages as love. Yeah.
Horse carts. Nissan Patrols. Prados. Spacios. All kinds of things. Hummers. Andreska, what do you think?
Yeah.
Juke. Rams. Yeah. Limousines. Some people is limousines. Yeah, what a garage. There are some garages, cars are parked there so often that there's no gate anymore. As you see, of all the things we call love, of all the things we experience that we translate it to mean love, is it something very simple? Let me just give you something very simple. For a man and a woman to come together to do anything, the woman can easily interpret it as love, whilst the man does not think about love at all. Yeah. It takes a lot to make a man show love for something. Yeah. The woman can interpret a small chocolate as love. When a man sees her just spending money. True or false? Yeah. When you get a flower, you are so amazed. Your emotions are all over the place. We flowers, we just kick flowers or something. What does flower do for us? So, your interpretation or your translation of love or what you call love and what a man calls love is even very different. Because in our country, Guyana, when a woman gets pregnant for a man, she thinks that the man loves her. That's why many of us women here, many of us women, have packed that cars in our garages and the oil has leaked. The engine oil of those cars have leaked and has caused a problem. A lifetime problem. Because if somebody parks a car in your garage for a night, it doesn't mean that the car is yours. Show me your receipt. That means that the car is yours. Where is your receipt? Show us your receipt. Your down payment.
You see, so people see love in different aspects, different ways. People play songs of love. I don't even think that in Guyana we have proper songs of love. The songs they give to us in Guyana is demonic, devilish, is straight from hell. There's nothing soothing or nothing romantic. I don't, at least I don't hear songs like that. Every song I hear is something like somebody who's mad, who's talking. If you compare it to, let's say, the soul songs that we hear from America and all these places, you know, some of the songs when you hear, you feel so nice. Oh the girl. Eh? Oh. You feel nice. But the songs they give to us here, I mean, it's too fantastic. When somebody takes you to a club and whines on you and buy you some beer or something, you feel that the person loves you, the people that they are with you. Yeah. Smoking a joint and they pass it on to you. You feel the brotherly love. All kinds of things we do on earth here. Is it because one of the things that human beings we crave for a lot is love. But you see, the Bible says that there is something we call greater love. Love that is great. Love that is great. It's a love that nobody here on earth can give you. Let me tell you, for many of you, you see, sometimes my heart cries for those of you who you don't have even a good family for them to even love you. In Guyana, there's no family love. Please, let's be serious. Andrew, my friend, you understand what I'm talking about? Yes, that's my best friend in the church, Andrew. Andrew is his name. Yeah. He's your friend too. Hey, hello, it's only my friend. Yeah. Family love? Please, don't let us go there. That you have a family and they love you and a family. I beg you. The family only comes in when you come to church a lot. And they begin to question, why are you going to the church like that? If you have a need right now, I don't believe any family member will help you. I've been here for 13 years. I know what I'm talking about. Family? One day, I had a problem with a church member. So I invited a church member's father to my office. She was having a marital problem. So I invited the father to come to my office and see whether, you know, he could help. You see, so this church member was having a marital problem, a very serious one. And we had gone into it, some of my pastors, myself, and there was no sight of a breakthrough. So I said, you know what? Coming from Africa, born in Ghana, born in the Ashanti region, as an Ashanti man from the Ashanti tribe, I know what. That's one of my relative standard at the Lord. He's called Bayeti Nkosi. Coming from such a background, I knew, I thought, that if I bring father inside the story, all the winds and the waves will become still. Because if from my background, if your father comes into a story, that's the end of it. I was talking to a young man who was interested to marry a young lady, and I was asking him, will your father come with you to come and see the young lady's parents? So I said, you're not ready for marriage then. Because when you're going to get married, you can't come. So I said, who will you come with? He said, oh, I know I can bring my brother. I said, your brother? I should give my daughter to you when your brother is with you? But are you serious? I'll not give my daughter to a young man who can't come to see me with his father. I want to talk to some big person who can talk sense to me. Some little boy or some little something, he wants to park in some garage, so he's coming to talk nonsense. You're serious? Come with your father. Come with a big person to talk to me. When there's a problem, I know who to go to. Not to talk to small boys when there's a problem. So I called the father to my office. And he came. And we sat down and I explained the thing to him. Hey! I was surprised the father didn't help at all! So I was asking myself, why am I so concerned about this church member's problem? When this person's father is not even interested. At the end of the day, in fact, A question that the father came to ask me was even very insulting. I heard that the man heard that me and that church member there. So as he came, we were talking, that he was trying to ask some questions. I felt very funny about it, but I composed myself. I felt that your daughter has a problem with her husband. And we are talking about it. They can't wait. So you, the father, who is the you are the father. You are the father. If you come and you say something, I'm hoping that it will stop. The man wasn't interested at all. You don't want to talk about family love? Family love? Hey. I have so many church members. It's as if they don't have families. So when you come to church and you are so focused on your family, and we are family in my husband and this my family, when I see you, I wonder, because there is no greater love in what you think is love. Of all the love that we are supposed to, there is what we call the greater love. Yeah. So when it comes to the family arena, there's no, I mean, you'll be surprised. One day, a young girl started working for me in my office. So I felt that, wow, it's an achievement. Because if you ask my relative standing at the door, who comes from Ashanti region, you can ask him, if you go to where we come from, okay, and then you see that there are people in the church, the boys, girls coming to the church and all of that, you see that their parents are so grateful to the pastor for the impact and the influence on their children. So I had this young lady who was working for me at the time. And so I asked one of her relatives, I said, so what do you think about this young lady? Sure. I was surprised when the relative said, oh, she likes show. I said, what does show got to do with somebody who Christ has picked from the streets? Wearing batty riders. Destroying her life. God has taken her and placed her in the church. And not just only in the church. Has placed her close to supervision. Close supervision. I was thinking that you would have one of the best comments. To say, wow, pastor, I'm so surprised. I'm so blessed that, you know, that this relative of mine has been taken from her. And the person said, this person likes show. Yeah. He said, this person is like Elvis Presley. They like show. I was dumbfounded. That is that the type of description you can give to somebody who was going to hell and has been invited to the church and has given her life to Christ, and now she's going on a different tangent. Is that the description? Is that what you call family love? You can ask my wife here. When Ope was here. You know Ope? Ope. Okwe. Okwe's mother. Ope's mother will call from Nigeria. When she calls, it got to a point when my wife says, Ope's mother is on the phone. I'll say, tell her I'm not around. Tell her I'm not available. You know why? The woman will start for my wife. 10 minutes, thank you. No, thank you for 10 minutes. Oh, not 2 seconds, thank you. She will start. She will start. Thank you. You know how to say thank you for 10 minutes? Ah, go to Africa. You're like, where's my 18? You should take them to our country. Yeah, take them to our country. 10 minutes, thank you, and prayer and declarations and proclamations. The woman will do that. So anytime I hear she has called, I say, because she sent her child to Guyana to come to university, medical school. And then a parent who is in Africa, child is in Guyana, and she doesn't know how things are going on. Then she discovers that there's a pastor from Ghana who has agreed to house her daughter and take care of her and watch over her, close supervision. When she's sleeping in Africa, she sleeps. Because she knows that her daughter, even though she's far away, she's in good hands. She will call and say thank you and pray. When she finishes, she hands it over to her husband. You see, some of you, your husbands, they don't even appreciate us. Your fathers and your child fathers don't have any respect for us. She will finish and she will hand over the phone to her husband, who also starts his thank you and prayers. And then speak against all my enemies. He said, may your enemies, hey! Some small daughter who is staying with us. What? How much space can a human being have? Some small, hey! So, when we are here in Guyana and we say, family, 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 especially when you come and tell me your child father. It's the only relationship, the way you even describe it, it's not you and somebody, it's your child's father. It means you are out of the picture. And this man can control your life so much. My mother, my father, my this. They say I can't come. They say they don't want me to come to church. Really? I thought everybody wants their children to do well and to behave well. So what is this thing about? It's the devil then. So when we talk about love, please don't talk about family love. Then when we come to even romantic love or erotic love, remember the Bible says, greater love has no man than this. Erotic love? They say they love you, what have they done for you? Then when the man said he loves you, even a common Starbrook market ring, they can't buy for you. And every night, car being parked in your garage. Not even one penny weight of gold ring. Not one penny weight. It's a lot. One penny weight is even a lot. Every night, car parked in your garage. All the hydraulics, the gate has been opening. Elasticity has reached its limit. And yet, a simple, let's go to the post office, let's do a little ceremony, let's go to the church, let's do something in the small aquaba room, and let me love you and kiss you up and ask God's blessings upon the relationship. That small thing, that small respect, he can't give you. It is called child father love, yeah. Then even comes to family, come brothers, sisters, friendship. You see, there's only one kind of love that you and I need. It is called the greater love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the description, that what makes that love different is what that love does. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Not a chocolate, not Chinese rice. He gave his only begotten son. I mean, if your boyfriend or girlfriend or somebody tells you, I want to take you out for dinner, Amanda, whoosh, you go and scrub all your eyebrows like that. Scrape it off. And then you take a black pencil instead and you draw like that. You become an object, artistic object. As if this one is not enough. Then you go here. Then when you finish, so it can. They realize that your hairstyle is not a nice hairstyle. The last time, the girls that I have with me, they were arguing with me. They were saying, this one is weave, this one is wig. I was just watching them. I said, go on. Tell me all the differences. I said, they are all called wig. Every week the wig. Why do you have to stitch something to your natural hair? With thread. Why? Now, it is lately I heard there's a lipstick they call nude. It's naked. You see, from our time, it's red. When you put this here, you touch it, you see red. Now, the one they have this day, they say it's nude. It doesn't have clothes. It's naked. So it's there like that, but it doesn't stick on something, right? Am I right? Is it true? It's not from my time. My time is a red. Even when you don't take care, some of it breaks on your lips. So when you are going, you see that there's some little break here. That's from our 1960s. That's the type of lipstick we use. My mother used to have an afro wig. There was no stitching, there was no pasting, there was no plaiting, braiding. She just puts the afro on her head. And then she takes the back of the comb and then it does like that. When she tired, she just take it like that, take it off. Yeah. That's more comfortable. than these ones that sometimes, as you are going, you are doing that. You can't take it off. Can't do that, sir. My mother would take the thing off like that. And they do. Simple. How you do? No, if somebody you love says, let's go out for a dinner or something, you see how you dress up, you masquerade, everything from head to toe is not real. And put, I don't know what they put on their fingers, some fake something, they do something on their fingers. Finger, they call it fingernails. Hey. Women is because you feel nice, like the person loves you. He's taking you out. Wear shoes. Bishop says long ones so that your buttocks will pull up like that. Because when you don't have anything long, we don't see the buttocks you have. When you have long ones, because you stand on it, the buttocks go up like that. So you go. You'll be scaring people here as well. All kinds of fantastic things. That little thing, it's like you feel so special. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this. What is this? Is it going out to eat? Is it getting a chocolate? Is it giving you money? No, he said the love is that a man lays down his life for his friends. He gives his life. He gives his life. He dies. He gives everything he has for that person that he says he loves. And ladies and gentlemen, there's nobody here in the world who would die for you but Jesus Christ.
1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, oh, behold. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm closing. I thought I would have finished by now. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? What manner of love that the Father has bestowed on us? Ephesians chapter 2. Hey. I'm done. I'm done. Ephesians 2, I think it's 12. Jesus loves you with a greater love. Ephesians chapter 2, you have that? Verse 4. But God. Someone say, but God. Who is rich in mercy. For his great love. Wherewith he loved us. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight. God wants to show you a love you have never experienced before. A love that surpasses cars parking in your garage. A love that surpasses people hanging on to your two things on your chest, hanging on to it like they own it. A love that is greater than somebody following like a dog is following another dog. Jesus wants to show you a love you have not experienced yet. A love that lays down. A love that gives life for life. Tonight, God is calling. He wants to show you that love tonight. He wants to show you that love tonight. He wants to show you that love tonight. You may be here for the first time or something like that, but you came here because God wants to show you love.
See, yesterday I was talking about it. There's this woman who met Jesus. She had 5 men already. Some of us, we can't talk about our story because the men are too much. You have forgotten their names. If you were to get pregnant, we have to do a raffle or gamble. We have to do bingo to find out who. Bingo. To find out who really is the real deal.
Jesus wants to show you greater love tonight. Stand to your feet, somebody. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me. You are here tonight. Somebody invited you. God needed you here. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this. That man will lay down his life for his friends. Jesus paid the price for you. He already showed you love on the cross of Calvary. Calvary covers it all. But tonight he's asking you, will you accept what he did on the cross? Will you assess what he did on the cross of Calvary? Will you allow what he did on the cross to be activated in your life? Jesus is calling you tonight. You are here tonight. You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want to experience this love that you are talking about. You were born. You have grown up. But you still lack love. There's this love that you don't have. You know there's something missing in your life. Jesus has it for you tonight. He has it for you tonight. He has it all together for you tonight. Pastor, please pray for me tonight. It's me. I need the love of Jesus.
I want to be saved. I want to be born again. You are here like that tonight. I want to ask you, just lift up your right hand wherever you are standing. Everybody stand. Everybody stand wherever you are. Stand, 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 stand. Everybody stand. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You're here like that. Just your right hand. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's not time to delay at all. It's not time to hesitate. It's not time to wonder, should I or should I not? There's love. God wants to show you love. Greater love has no man. What love are you receiving? Jesus wants to upgrade the love that you are receiving. You are here tonight. You want to experience the love of God. You want to experience the love of Jesus Christ. The love that lays down its life for a friend. Your right hand up high. I'll pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. You lifted up your hand. I want to ask you, my brother, I want to ask you to come to me. Come to the front. Come, sir. Come. I want to pray for you. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Come on to Jesus. Come. Give him your life today. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Oh, clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Yeah. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Who's singing? Love singers here or not? God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, my friend. Are you coming? Come tonight. Give your heart to Jesus. Give him a chance. Give Jesus a chance. He will prove it. He will show it to you. He loves you with a greater love. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Give him your life today. Give him your life tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Give him your life tonight. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus tonight. Give him your life. Give him your life tonight. He will change you forever. Let him have his way. You want to come? Don't hesitate. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. You want to join them? Come tonight. Come quickly. Come quickly. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Come to Jesus tonight. He wants to show you his great love. A love that you have not experienced yet in your life. Give him your life today. Your life today. To clap for these ones who are in front. Hallelujah. Clap for them. Clap, clap, clap. What a great moment. You see, people clap for the wrong things. I know your face. What's your name again? Victor. Hey. Are you sure? From here or from over the river? River and here, Victor. You see some girls, they wear panties. What's your name, my friend? Travis. Have you seen when these guys, they wear panties, they wear brassiere, and they come on stage and then people clap for them? What is nice about it to clap? You have decided to give your life to Christ tonight, and you are there, you are not clapping. Hey, what is it? Panties and brassiere. What's your name, sir? You're one of the first people to raise your hand. What's your name? Ken Kenyatta, Jomo Kenyatta. Wow. Your brother has come from Africa, Jomo Kenyatta, to preach the gospel to you. I'm glad you responded. Amen. I want you to close your eyes with me tonight. Church, let's close our eyes, everybody. It's a simple prayer, it's a simple confession you make. And God has established it that when you make that confession, then he actually gains the opportunity to come into your life, to come into your heart. And he changes you around. It is a supernatural moment now. As you pray this prayer with me, let it be from your heart. Deep in deep from your heart. But the Bible says that it is with your heart that you believe. And with your heart, confession is made unto salvation. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart right now. And I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to fill my heart with his love. I believe by this simple invitation, Jesus has come into my life. I am born again. I am a brand new person. My life has changed forever. I am now a child of God. And heaven is my home. Thank you, Father, for accepting me and for writing my name in the book of life. I will serve you, Lord, for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.